أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. صلوات وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم والقرآن الحكيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله. صدق الله العلي العظيم. رسالة الصلوات بليز.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Last night we discussed the verse of زيارة عاشورة that says يا أبا عبد الله لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت وعظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام وجلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات. In short, this verse talks about the great calamity that Imam al-Hussein عليه السلام faced, and we said that Raziyya here talks about a specific calamity, and that is calamity of loss, the loss that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam encountered, apparently that is by losing his dear ones and by not being able to establish the government that he aspired to establish. Some of the ulama or some of the lexicographers have said that the word raziyya specifically denotes faqdul ahbab, that is the loss of dear ones. But if you look at the etymology, we find that raziyya denotes any kind of loss, that is a calamity also. And musiba is that which touches a person. And this can not only be loss, it can be another incident that transpires. And therefore, this is the difference. And as I said, jallat here means a specific azma, specific greatness, that is the spiritual greatness, not necessarily only physical greatness. That is why the specific mention of jallat wa azmatil musibatu bika alayna. Because of what transpired on you, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and the ashab, this is a great calamity for us, both spiritual, because we lost a great personality like yourself, and because you are not physically near us. Not only was it a musibah and a calamity for us, but it was also for those inhabitants of the heavens. وَعَظُمَتْ مُصِيبَتُكَ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ عَلَى جَمِيعِ أَهْلِ السَّمَاوَاتِ. To all the inhabitants of the heavens also, this was a very grave calamity. Now, there is one thing that I would like to discuss here, and that is that sometimes the incident of Ashura is mentioned as a very happy occasion. And some scholars specifically have mentioned this in their books, that it is Yawmul Bahja wa Surur for those people who had attained a very high sanctity and could comprehend what Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam had attained. From people like Sayyid Radiyuddin bin Tawus in his al-luhuf, inshallah, we'll come to his statement, and you'll find that he clearly states that was it not for losing such great personalities and not for being able to participate and get that martaba of shahada, and was it not for the circumstances that came after the battle of Karbala, the losses that came during the battle and after, لَلَبِسْنَا لِبَاسَ الْفَرَحِ, verily we would have clad in the attires of happiness because of what Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam attained. And if you look at Ayatollah Mirza Maliki Tabrizi in his Al-Muraqibat, he also mentions this in a subtler manner. He says that if you look at Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam on the day of Ashura, كلما اشتد الأمر للحسين عليه السلام, however much tense the situation for Imam Hussein عليه السلام would become, you would see that his face would glow with happiness, and he had a certain contentment and calmness in him that would overcome him. This was the situation of Imam Hussein عليه السلام. While there were other companions who, those who narrated this, that they said that it was so difficult for us, it was becoming, the position was a bit more difficult for us as it neared the time of battle, but we would find that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was not as such. Now sometimes you feel that it's a paradox. You find that some of the Muslim brothers who are not Shia Muslims, or not Shia Ithna Ashiris, on the 11th night when we call it Shami Ghariban, they celebrate that night and say that, see, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam came in the post of Imamat. So they start celebrating it in some places. But then, as specified that by this great alim, Sayyid Radiyuddin bin Tawus in his Al-Iqbal, that because the sunnah of the Prophet and the Aimma alayhi salam was on this, and because of these several factors, that is why we really show that emotion of sorrow. And this is something which is very much meritorious also, because if you look at the riwayat, you find that the Aimma alayhi salam telling us that you should sit and try to remember Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. The explanation for this is a bit difficult because it entails terminologies, but then I'll try to simplify these terminologies. You see, some great scholars have tried to classify journeys, spiritual journeys, into four main journeys. I don't want to mention each and every journey with a detailed explanation, but shortly I would like to inform you that there are two main stages that a person should pass. One is when he is extinct in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't find himself, he only sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the one stage. And in this stage, he comes to realize what Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam attained. Rumi in his Matnavi narrates a very beautiful incident in his Ash'ar, in his poems. He says that in a place near Syria, a person happened to pass by that place, and he saw that the people there were in sorrow on the day of Ashura from morning until night. So he asks a person there, he says that, why all this sorrow that you express in this day? So this man who expresses sorrow, he says, don't you know what day it is? This is أجل الحوادث التاريخية. This is so clear. This is the most clear incidents in tariq, and you don't know what day it is? So he starts reproaching him. But this man says that, in fact, I should reproach you for you expressing sorrow, because these people, these great companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as well as Imam Hussein alayhi salam, had reached such a sanctity
They left this material world, they got a higher status whereby they have power to even have power over this material world. They had a very high station. And therefore, why should you cry? You should express joy instead, because they had reached those stations. This is what he said. And these ash'ar, these poems were recited by the late Sayyid Haddad al-Musawi, one of the associates of Allama Tabatabai in Karbala. His student, Ayatullah Sayyid Muhammad Hussain Tehrani, in his book Ruhi Mujarrad, in his memoirs, say that Ayatullah Sayyid Haddad, during Muharram and the day of Ashura, would come in such moments of ecstasy, and he would be extremely happy that words are beyond expression. During the first journey, still he had not reached the fourth journey, whereby now that journey is a higher journey, a higher station. That journey is a higher journey, and the place, the post and the station is higher. And in that station, the person is with Allah, although he is extinct in Allah, but he is also with the people together. And thus, sometimes he expresses sorrow and sometimes he expresses love, and he has that situation of surur and happiness and joy. These two stations come overcome him at different times, because sometimes his attention is focused towards Allah only, and sometimes his station is focused to the people. But then at the onset, you start with this journey whereby you start weeping over Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam, what happened to him. And this is natural for us, because we haven't reached that station to see what transpired in that world and what station did Imam Hussain alayhi salam reach. We can't vision all these things. So for us, because of what happened to Imam Hussain alayhi salam, we really feel sorrowful, how his sanctity was violated, how his women were taken as captives and so on. All these things really and naturally bring sorrow. And these things are even given merit by the Aimma alayhi salam, and they have been advised by them. So we should follow this until we reach that station, which is a natural station. Not that you try to make yourself happy. No, it's something which naturally overcomes you when you come to that position. And then as you soar higher and higher, a time comes when sometimes your focus or your attention is focused at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't see anybody. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ is just a verse that we hear now and again, that Allah is everywhere. Whithersoever you turn, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is not tangibly visioned by us. This comes tangibly when we reach that station. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ or كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَان, which is an ism al-fa'il, that everyone is extinct in this world, but he does not comprehend. He thinks he has istiqlal and he has independence of his own. Rather, only Allah has independence. No one has anything of his own. All are manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the sifat that you have, the positive sifat, don't belong to you. Apparently you see that you have that independence, you have the sifat with you, but then everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lahu ma fi samawati wal ard. This lahu coming first, being the predicate, as I said, when the predicate comes first and the subject follows, there is specification here. Only to Allah belongs the heavens, whatever is in the heavens and the earth, including you, including what you have of your sifat and of what of your akhlaq and so on. All these things belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sayyid Ayatollah Muhammad Hussain Tehrani in his book says that at the end of his life, before he died, Sayyid Haddad would express in Muharram and on the day of Ashura, sometimes he would be in ecstasy and joy, and sometimes he would really express his sorrow because he has attention towards this world. And you'll find that, of course, such great ulama don't reach the same position as what our Aimma alayhim salam enjoyed. They enjoyed something higher than that. As I said, that Imam Ali alayhi salam tells Abu Dharr, that you cannot comprehend our status. لا تبلغ ما فينا ولا نهايته لا يقاس بنا أحد من الخلق. You cannot compare. But then relatively you find that a person who is their real follower comes to a stage whereby he can comprehend all these things. But then the late Allama Muhammad Taqi Ja'fari, in one of his books, because he is known to have given a very beautiful commentary over Masnavi and a critical commentary as well, because he would not just look at what Sahib Masnavi says and stop. No, sometimes he would raise his criticisms. One of his very sound criticisms is that Masnavi hardly talks about the Qadiyah of Karbala, only at one or two places, and that also he mentions it in this manner. This is one thing. Secondly, he says that this station is a lower station, and it's true, because the first journey is still a lower journey whereby you cannot be abreast with the people. Your focus is only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although that is a high station, but then that is not a complete station. As I said, it's the fourth station that is complete, whereby you have focus towards Allah and towards khalq also. And if you are more powerful, sometimes, you know, your focus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be cut for very long periods. Recite a salawat, please. Having talked about this, now we go to the second or the next verse of this great ziyarah. And this is a reason now for what transpired in the previous verse. Because of all this musibah that came to you, Ya Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and Ya Ashab Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, because of all this, the word of fa is used, which is fa ut-tafri', which is a derivative of what transpired before. فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَوْرِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Therefore, may Allah's curse be upon that community who established the foundation of dhulm and jawr upon you. Now la'an, the meaning of la'an is to seek remoteness of the object of la'an from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is as if you are saying, Ya Allah, ab'idhu an rahmatik. Make him remote and far from your rahmah. Why? Because he has come to that station or that position whereby whether you tell him to do right or not, he is not going to come back. سَوَاءٌ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Not that they don't know the truth. They know the truth, because a kafir is a person, kufr is satr, to hide something that you have known already. For a person who has not come to the reality, he is a mustada'af. We have so many mustada'afun. Mustada'af aqli, whereby intellectually they haven't come to the right place. They have strived and struggled throughout their lives, but they haven't come to that right place, and therefore they are not kafir. Conventionally they are known as kafir, yes. Conventionally, when you look at them, commonly you call them kafir, but then they are not really kafirs. A kafir is a person who, despite knowing the truth, hides the truth, satir. Such were people, those three guys who came after the Holy Prophet forcefully, who formed the foundation of dhulm and jawr. Another very important thing is that, you see, even whether we do la'an on them or we do not do la'an on them, they have created and sown the seeds of la'an for them already. And therefore, declaration of la'an not only is a prayer and a supplication to remove them from the sanctity of Allah and make them even worse, but It's a declaration of your stance that I am not with them. It's a very important thing. You are declaring your stance that when you say la'nat on them, you are declaring a stance that I do not agree to what they did in all the stages of what they did when they wanted to attack Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And therefore la'n is very important. I remember in one of the gatherings, a sister in Islam said, why do you say Markbar Amrika, Markbar Amrika, or Markbar? Because it's not the inhabitants of America who are at fault. I said, no, first of all, this doesn't mean that we are trying to say that death to the American inhabitants and the people in America. No, it's the government. And secondly, this is Aynul Bara'ah of today. Because if you don't do that, then you might try to support them directly or indirectly. And it's pathetic that sometimes we do support them indirectly, but we don't come to realize. Therefore, when we say la'an on them, when we curse them, there are many things to be taken into consideration. One is that they have already sown the seeds of them being far and far day after day, or as they are in barzakh. And secondly, we are declaring our stance against them when we say la'an on them. And thirdly, we should also realize that this la'an, this ziyara is not a particular ziyara, it's a universal statement. Therefore it applies today, it will apply tomorrow. That is how Imam Khomeini at his time applied this ziyara and rose, because he said these things, these la'an are important. It applied to this time also. Today's Yazid is the Shah who is sitting. Therefore remove the Shah. Curse be upon him. And the third important point on this la'an is that when you do la'an on these characteristics or these characters, these three characters about whom we shall come and talk about, we should know that we don't try to do la'an on them because of their human personality. No, it's because of the actions that they did. There is a very subtle issue that is talked about with regard to Nuh's son, Nabi Nuh salamullah alayhi's son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. Doesn't say, إِنَّهُمْ ذُو عَمَلٍ غير صالح. إنه عمل غير صالح. Because it is your deeds that make you and your personality. It's your thoughts and deeds and actions that make you. And thus when we do la'an on them, and even that 100 times, the significance is that we are trying to say, oh Allah, we do not like these deeds. We should be away from these deeds. We hate these deeds. Not that Yazid as a personality that he has, as a person, as a human being. Because everybody has fitrah with them. Fitrat Allah allati fatara an-nasa alayha la tabdila li khalqillah. La tabdila li khalqillah. There is no change in that fitrah. So Yazid does have that fitrah. And that is why the ulama say that when we go to the higher realms on the Day of Judgment, the thing that will really disturb us is that fitrah which would be there. Because that fitrah would call towards goodness, and those actions and deeds that you have performed would try to disturb you, because you now find that you want goodness, but that thing is disturbing you. That situation is there even with regard to Yazid, whoever it is. So fitrat Allah everybody has, and even that fitrat Allah, the subtlety here is that the word Allah exemplifies all the attributes of perfection. Therefore, they have love for all the attributes of perfection. Every human being. And therefore, when we try to execrate and try to do la'an on these people, the reason why we do la'an on these people is because we hate the deeds. Why 100 times? because of inculcating in our minds that we should not do those deeds. We should not take steps that would lead to such deeds. Because, as I said, this is a universal event. The great scholar, Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, in one of his lectures, gives a very beautiful example and an extension. He says that Ayatollah Fadlallah Nuri, when a sentence was given against him and he was hanged, there were people who came who were Shias also by name. They were the ones who clapped. They were the ones who clapped. He said, it should not happen that there is another Ashura that transpires. And we have people who are like the Yazidis and like the supporters of Yazid, who due to ignorance or otherwise come and start clapping like this. Because Sayyid Sheikh Ayatullah Fadlullah Nuri was a very powerful personality, who was a marja also, and he wanted to reform the majlis and the assembly at that time, and he struggled well and hard. But then they deserted him with their own plots. And a time came when the so-called or Shias would come and clap, among which his son was there, because his son was not a good person. And the roots of this also comes back to his childhood, when he was breastfed by a Jewish lady, mistakenly. But then, of course, as I told you, يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. Even if a person's roots are evil, he can still change, because he has a volition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him a will to do good or bad. A very important thing is that the word ظُلْم and جَوْر are translated as oppression, both. But ظُلْم and جَوْر have different meanings. In one way they do have a similarity, that both talk about deviation. But ظُلْم is translated as darkness. But the etymology of ظُلْم is to deviate from the right path. Raghib al-Isfahani in his Al-Mufradat says that ظُلْم is to put something not in its place, to deviate. This is what ظُلْم is. And جَوْر is 100% etymologically meaning that to deviate from the right path. ظُلْم is not to put something in its place, but جَوْر means to deviate from the right path. And both apply to those people who made the course of revelation deviate and the course of successorship deviate from the right path. A very important point is that we do la'an. The first la'an comes for what? It's the first la'an we are trying to do now. For the foundation that caused evil. And it's very important. Mullah Sadra in his Sayh Asl writes a very beautiful statement. He says, قُتِلَ الْحُسَيْنِ يَوْمَ السَّقِيفَةِ. Very beautiful statement, very small. قُتِلَ الْحُسَيْنِ يَوْمَ السَّقِيفَةِ. On the day of Saqifa, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was martyred. Why? Because that formed the foundation of what would transpire afterwards. And that is why the first la'an is on these people. And one very important thing is that today, when we look at this and when we look at the gravity of the issue, we should not try to look at the Sunnis in another way, that you know, it's your people who did all this zulm and who changed the course. No, because this, many of them are ignorant. They are The introduction of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman is done in another manner. That they were good people,
that they had spiritual powers and all that. Yes, if a person has those powers, then he's good. He does have those powers. He is really he has a powerful iman with him. He follows the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he's a good person. But then they were not like that. Historically we find, the difference is that they come to the path of ignorance. Whenever a person tells you that A has these characteristics, which are according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from a human being, you would say A is a good person. But then if you are wrongly told about A, and you are told that A is a very good person having all these characteristics, but he in reality is not a good person having all these characteristics. So you try to praise A. Why? Because you know him this way, while in reality he is not that. With the hidayah of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and with successive narrations about the wilayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we have known that these people were really culprits, and they were the ones who caused the foundation of deviation from the right path. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَوْرِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Recite the salawat, please. In Sahih al-Kafi, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have told one of his companions, Wallah, I swear by Allah, مَا أُسِّسَتْ مِنْ بَلِيَّةٍ وَلَا قَضِيَّةٍ تَجْرِي عَلَيْنَا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا هُمَا أَسَّسَا أَوَّلُهَا فَعَلَيْهِمَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَ وَالنَّاسُ أَجْمَعِينَ. This is from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, cursing these two people, saying that whatever have befallen us, the root cause and the origin is these people, these two people, the first two. And of course, if you look at the roots of these two people and politically, what did they engage in during the Holy Prophet's time? Because it is something which, you know, is surprising that after the Prophet's time, Imam Ali alayhi salam is deserted and people go to Saqifa and the matter is changed. The course and matter cannot be changed when the Holy Prophet reiteratively, repeatedly says, Imam Ali alayhi salam is after me, in different occasions. That means that there was a political movement during the time of the Prophet. And we do have proofs that during the time of the Prophet, the political movement had started, under which Umar had so many supporters. He could literally kill people in Saqifa if the matter was not changed. He had a lot of supporters. And you would also find that how is he related to the Jews? This is another issue, another chapter in itself. Because the course of events suddenly cannot change. It cannot come in a person's mind that the course of events suddenly changed. I think we don't have a lot of time. I think I'll stop over here, inshallah. Tomorrow we'll continue. And just a few things about what transpired in the plains of Karbala before we conclude, inshallah. Recite a salawat, please. Usually tonight, in some places, we try to remember Hazrat Ali Akbar Salamullah Alayh, the son of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I would like to read the maqtal and try to translate out, and I would like you to pay attention on the words, because the words also chosen are very important. It is said that awwalu man kharaja ahlu baytihi min ahli bayti, awwalu man kharaja min ahli baytihi aliyun al-akbar. The first person who went to fight against the kuffar
from the Ahlul Bayt of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was Aliyun al-Akbar. وَكَانَ مِنْ أَصْبَحِ النَّاسِ وَجْهًا وَأَحْسَنَهُمْ خُلْقًا. And he was extremely resplendent. Some people try to translate as handsome. No, it's not handsome. It's resplendent. It's radiant. Because أَصْبَحُ النَّاسِ is not أَجْمَلُ النَّاسِ. أَصْبَحُ النَّاسِ. That means he had a nuraniya. He had light emitting from him. He had noor in him. That is what is أَصْبَح. وَأَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلْقًا. And he had excellent moral traits. وَكَانَ عُمْرُهُ 19 سنة. And he was of 19 years old. أَوْ 18 سنة. Or 18. And in some riwayat it is said, هُوَ أَوْ 25 سنة. Or 25 years of age. وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ قَتِيلٍ مِّنْ آلِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. He is the first one to have been martyred from the family of Abi Talib salamullah alayhi. فَاسْتَأْذَنَ أَبَاهُ. He seeks permission from his father. بِالْقِتَال. For fighting against the enemies. فَأَذِنَ لَهُ. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam straight away gives him permission. ثُمَّ نَذَرَ إِلَيْهِ نَظَرَ آيس مِنْهُ. وَأَرْخَى عَيْنَهُ فَبَكَى. Then he looks at Imam Hussein alayhi salam, looks at Aliyun al-Akbar in such a way that he now knows that Hazrat Ali Akbar would not return. So he cries. فَلَمَّا رَآهُ الْحُسَيْنِ رَفَعَ شَيْبَتَهُ نَحْوَ السَّمَاءِ وَقَالَ. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam looks at him, he raises his head towards the heavens and says, اللهم اشهد على هؤلاء القوم فقد برز إليهم غلام أشبه الناس خلقا وخلقا ومنطقا برسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. As he raises his head, he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that, O Allah, bear witness to these people, for verily a person has come out to them who is more resembling to the Holy Prophet in terms of character, in terms of the physical stature, and in terms of speech. كُنَّا إِذَا اشْتَقْنَا إِلَىٰ نَبِيِّكَ نَظَرْنَا إِلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ. When we wanted to see the Prophet and we yearned for the presence of the Prophet, we would look at him. اللهم امنعهم بركات الأرض وفرقهم تفريقا. Then he starts execrating and saying, Oh Allah, make them mahroom from all the barakat and all the blessings of the earth. ثم صاح الحسين بعمر بن سعد saying, ما لك. Then Imam Hussein عليه السلام cried at Umar bin Sa'd, shouted at Umar bin Sa'd, saying, what has happened to you? قَتَعَ اللَّهَ رَحِمَكَ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut your nasl and your rahim and your lineage. وَلَا بَارَكَ اللَّهَ لَكَ فِي أَمْرِكَ. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make you successful in your venture. وَسَلَّطَ عَلَيْكَ مَنْ يَذْبَحَكَ بَعْدِي عَلَى فِرَاشِكَ. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it in such a manner that you get killed in your bed soon. كَمَا قَطَعْتَ رَحْمِي. The way you disconnected my lineage from Aliyun al-Akbar. Thereafter, Aliyun al-Akbar goes and fights. And as he goes, he recites some poems. He says, أَنَا عَلِيُّ بْنُ الْحُسَيْنِ بْنُ عَلِيِّ. I am Ali, the son of Hussein, who is the son of Ali. نحن وبيت الله أولى بالنبي. We and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are near to the Prophet. أضربكم بالسيف أحمي عن أبي. I am going to hit you and strike you with my sword, and I'm going to protect my father. ضرب غلام هاشمي علوي. the striking of a person, of a Hashemite and an Alawite. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ يُقَاتِلُ حَتَّى بَجَّ النَّاسِ مِنْ كِثْرَةِ مَنْ قُتِلَ مِنْهُمْ. As he fought, he killed so many people that the enemies started complaining. وَرُوِيَ أَنَّهُ قَتَلَ عَلَىٰ عَطَشِهِ 120 رَجُلًا. And it is narrated that he killed 120 among them. ثُمَّ رَجَعَ إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِ وَقَدْ أَصَابَتْهُ جَرَاحَاتْ كَثِيرًا. Thereafter he returns to his father while a lot of wounds, he had incurred a lot of wounds. فَقَالَ يَا أَبَا أَلْعَطَشْ قَدْ قَتَلَنِي. Saying, O father, thirst has killed me. وَثِقْلُ الْحَدِيدْ أَجْهَدَنِي. And the arrows have made me tired. فَهَلْ إِلَىٰ شُرْبَةٍ مِّن مَاءٍ سَبِيلٍ أَتَقَوَّ بِهَا عَلَى الْأَعْدَاءِ. So is there some water that I can drink so that I can gain strength against the enemies? فَبَكَى الْحُسَيْنِ. Thereafter Imam Hussein alayhi salam weeps. وَقَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ. And says, O my dear son, يَعِزُّ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ عَلِيٍ وَعَلَىٰ أَبِيكَ أَن تَدْعُوَهُمْ فَلَا يُجِيبُونَكَ. O my dear son, it is difficult on the Holy Prophet and on Imam Ali alayhi salam and on your father Hussein that you call them to the right path but they do not respond to you. وَتَسْتَغِيثُ بِهِمْ فَلَا يَغِيثُونَكَ. And you seek help from them but they do not give you help. يَا بُنَيَّ هَاتِ لِسَانَكَ. O my dear son, give me your tongue. فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِهِ فَمَصَّهُ وَدَفَعَ إِلَيْهِ خَاتِمَهُ وَقَالَ خُذْ هَذَا الْخَاتِمِ. First Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells Ali ibn al-Akbar that you put your tongue in my mouth so that your thirst can be quenched. But as he puts his tongue, he immediately takes it out because he feels that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is more thirsty than him. Thereafter he gives him his ring and says that put this ring in your mouth. وَرْجِعْ إِلَىٰ قِتَالِ عَدُوِّكَ. And return to fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against the enemies. فَإِنِّي أَرْجُوْ أَنَّكَ لَا تَمْسَى حَتَّى يَسْقِيكَ جَدُّكَ بِكَأْسِهِ الْأَوْفَى شُرْبَةً لَا تَغْمَعُ بَعَدَهَا أَبَدًا. He said, for I have hoped that you will not confront the evening save that before which your grandfather would quench your thirst with a certain cup that you will never get thirsty thereafter. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.